President Obama delivers his farewell address tonight in Chicago. He has given so many major speeches as president, and now there's a book of them. It's called We Are the Change We Seek, The Speeches of Barack Obama. The editors are E.J. Dionne, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a columnist for The Washington Post, and Joanne Reed, political analyst and host of AM Joy on MSNBC. They join us now. Welcome. And Joy, let's start with you. As you worked on which speeches to include in this book, what stood out to you?
Well, one of the things that was interesting is that EJ and I, you know, both compiled our own lists of which speeches we thought were his best. And it was actually pretty amazing how many of the same speeches we had on our list. And one of the speeches that I think was a remarkable and really a quintessentially Obama speech was his speech in Selma, Alabama, for the anniversary of that march over the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And it's uniquely Obama for a lot of reasons. It's extremely historic in the sense that he looks at history as somebody who's not even necessarily just a president, but also an observer of American culture and American history writ large. It's got in these incredible references to James Baldwin and other poetic, allegoric references, and it really speaks to the America that he wants us to be. And what that speech has in common with actually my my other favorite speech of his, the speech that he gave when he actually lost the New Hampshire primary to Hillary Clinton, and then took that speech, rewrote it really in the last minute to become this soaring treatise on hope at the moment when it seemed that the idea of a first black president was being snatched away from African Americans who were awakened to the possibility of Obama when he won in Iowa and then had those hopes dashed in New Hampshire. He turns that moment into probably the most inspirational moment in the campaign. And I think what Obama is what he says he is. He's a hope monger. He believes in the American experiment. He believes we are moving inexorably toward that more perfect union. And I think the Selma speech and that Yes, We Can speech, you call it, in New Hampshire most embody that.
Well, let's listen to a little bit from that speech in New Hampshire. This is right after he lost the primary to Hillary Clinton in 2008.
When we've been told we're not ready, or that we shouldn't try, or that we can't, generations of Americans have responded with a simple creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And then there was this just a few days later after he had success in the Super Tuesday primaries, beating Clinton in many of them.
We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek. We are the hope.
So we are the change that we seek, which is now the title of your book. And yes, we can. Were these accidental or did he know that these would be phrases that would end up being repeated over and over again?
Well, you know, Yes, We Can is interesting because it has a complicated history because it was something also that David Axelrod, his key advisor, had used as a slogan for Deval Patrick's run for governor of Massachusetts. But it became the Obama trademark, si se puede, in a lot of different languages. You know, there was a party in Spain that kind of drew its name from that. So even though the roots of it were outside Obama, it became sort of the hallmark of his campaign. And the idea that we are the ones we've been waiting for is really a community organizer's creed. And I think it's something that at his best Obama never lost, which is, you know, the job of the organizer is not to do everything himself, but to get people to do things on their own behalf.
And if I could say what's interesting about that is Barack Obama consistently references civil rights figures and uses some of their same sort of tomes, right? So King would use a lot of the same phrases that would turn up in much more famous speeches, but he'd use them in smaller speeches. Well, Barack Obama used Yes, We Can in speeches that are not nearly as famous. He used it and he directly pulled it from Si Se Puede, from Dolores Huerta, who's one of his civil rights heroes. He borrows these little phrases like fired up, ready to go, which he takes from a woman who's this 60 some odd year old organizer in the South. And he hears this phrase from her and borrows it and incorporates it into his own speaking. Obama is a sponge. He picks up little phrases, little turns of phrase and ideas from community organizers and civil rights figures. And while he doesn't see himself as a civil rights leader. He sees himself as more of a convener. His idea and the big idea in his speeches is to put the ideas out there and then to challenge Americans to seize them and make the change for themselves.
I remember seeing him speak in New York. He spoke to a bunch of Wall Street executives. This is after the financial crisis, but he was talking to them about those issues. And after all of the talk of how great his speeches were, this one was not that exciting. And it's actually been written about that it wasn't that exciting. Did you notice as you were going through these speeches that at times he just turned it off? He didn't use his soaring rhetoric to make his points.
I think of the moments when Michael Brown, for instance, was killed and he came out and he comes all the way back from Martha's Vineyard to Washington, D.C. and he gets up to the podium and he talks about the death of Michael Brown as the tail end to a press conference about something else, Iraq or China. And he sort of leaves it there and leaves people wanting and leaves people really flat and a lot of African Americans really angry that he doesn't apply this great gift of his to speak to their pain, which is why when he does it, when he finally does it in Selma and in some of the other speeches that he's given, it feels like a bomb, B-A-L-M, to the people who felt that this is why we needed to have a black president.
I want to ask you about a speech that I think is often forgotten in this country, but I think it made a big difference in other parts of the world. This was a speech that Obama gave in Cairo, Egypt, in June of 2009. It's called A New Beginning. Here's a bit of it.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect. And one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition.
Why did you choose to include this speech? And what do you think the impact was of this speech?
I think that that speech is, in terms of policy, is going to be one of the most important. And I think it's going to be one of the most controversial of his speeches. A lot of people are still asking the question, what actually came out of that? What role did that speech play in the Arab Spring? Did Obama adequately follow through on the promises of that speech? So it was a breakthrough speech in announcing a different American approach to Islam, although in fairness to George W. Bush, he tried really hard to make clear throughout his presidency that whatever you thought of his war policies, this was not about a war with Islam, but someone named Barack Hussein Obama had a particular credibility on that. But I think we're going to be debating that speech for some years to come.
Well, and it's even more ironic that now we find ourselves with a president-elect who part of his popularity is grounded in this international movement toward a kind of clash of civilizations between Christianity and Islam. And so he's doing precisely the opposite of what Barack Obama was doing in that speech. One wonders, could Barack Obama give that speech today? Would he be able to get across those same ideas when you have people saying, no, we actually want a Russian-led war with Islam. We want a clash of civilizations.
Well, what does it tell you that Obama's rhetoric and Obama's speaking style was very effective at communicating with the American people, but now Donald Trump, who has a completely different way of communicating, is also being very effective, that these two things work with different groups, I guess?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, we've gone from a great orator to prolific tweeter. I don't know if that's progress. But it's still not clear to me that Donald Trump is the great communicator when you look at his approval rating. You know, the electorate that elected Donald Trump, according to the exit poll, 60% of them disapproved of him. So, you know, we're going to be testing Donald Trump. He is not good at the big speech to make a big argument, and his inaugural address will be the first really big test of that. Yeah. But as I say, I think we're going to miss a president who can talk like Obama could talk. And I think that may be true even for among people who did not support President Obama.
Oh, I can't tell you how many, you know, Republican friends, you know, express how much they're going to miss having, the country represented by this kind of a man, this kind of a father, this kind of a person in terms of his character and integrity, but also this kind of a speaker. He certainly makes us look good. But to EJ's point, it's amazing that Barack Obama speaks when he gives a great speech. He speaks to the country and to the world and is rejected by a percentage of the country. When Donald Trump communicates, he specifically only communicates to his followers. So he's not really made an attempt to do what Barack Obama does, meaning speak to the country, speak to the world. He just talks to his followers. So it is literally sort of the inverse of the Obama years.
Well, I can't say goodbye to you without saying that one of my favorite moments of this book is a speech that Obama gave in Kansas, a big economic speech. And it starts by saying, and you've got the transcript of it here, you know, it's great to be back in the state of Texas. State of Kansas. I had forgotten that he said in one of his most important speeches, he got the state wrong. But anyway,
we tried to be true to the text.
That's right. Well, EJ Dionne and Joanne Reed, they're the editors of We Are the Change We Seek, the speeches of Barack Obama. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
You.